So let me start probably the way every interview starts, by making some comparison to chess, right? In chess, you play to win. You have a simple outcome, complicated game, but a simple outcome. How do you frame success or victory for political opposition?
It depends whether we're talking about political opposition in a democratic country or in authoritarian country.
And how would you frame Russia?
Russia is now it's authoritarian country on the way to totalitarian state. It's one-man dictatorship. There's still some tiny elements of economic freedom, but politically it's everything is suppressed. So that's why in Russia, we all understand, Putin is there forever. I don't know the outcome of his rule. I don't know what price Russia will pay for his paranoia. I don't know what would be the cost for the rest of the world for his aggression. I know for sure he's going to die in Kremlin. The question is when and how. And that will decide not only the fate of Russia, but I'm afraid the fate of the humanity, because this guy, unlike Hitler, has an access to nuclear weapon. And it seems that he believes, and his cronies keep repeating it, that Putin is Russia, Russia is Putin, which means his personal failure he may consider as a signal to bring the entire country down with him. Putin can push one button. It's unrealistic, some say. But, you know, let's not forget that the list of what Putin would never do, and he done, is growing every day. And he is openly blackmailing the free world with nuclear weapons. Recently, he praised Nikita Khrushchev for being so arrogant and threatening the West in late 50s, early 60s with Soviet nuclear weapon. Putin does not recognize the borders of the post-Soviet countries, and 24/7 propaganda on Russian media has been aiming at the United States, the Western world as a whole, but United States specifically, as a source of evil. You don't want this paranoia, Putin's paranoia, just to become sort of nationwide paranoia, and then God knows what happens. Learning from history, the consequences could be dramatic.
You mentioned Khrushchev, who, of course, is a major figure in the Cold War, relations between the U.S. and Russia, frosty at the moment. Yes. Where are we headed?
Now, the message is that winter is coming, because we are just facing a new Cold War. And as we know from history, the outcome of the Cold War and the price the free world will pay to win the war, because I still believe that, you know, the progress of mankind is irresistible and is connected to the liberal democracy and market economy and individual freedom. But the cost that we'll pay for the victory in the war depends on the strengths of the leadership and our belief in the moral values that granted us victory in the Cold War.
And in your talk, you called America the greatest democracy, but you also said that America is in decline.
Those statements are correct. America is the greatest democracy of all. As Margaret Thatcher once said, that it's the only country that was built on an idea, not sort of on tribal connections, not on sort of affiliation with ancient piece of land, but on idea of freedom, of liberty, of an ability of individuals to build the society the way they want and to live under the written law. Now, when I say it's in decline, because in the last two decades, America has been gradually replacing its risk-taking attitude by complacency, by trying to find an easy way. And the last four presidencies, we could see that America is failing to come up with a plan. Bush tried, but you don't want to use force all the time. The strength of a leader is not to send troops, but to make a credible threat. That's why Reagan was a great leader. He almost never used forces, military forces. He made threats. And he was dealing with the Soviet Union, not with Vladimir Putin. And don't tell me that Putin's Russia is a more powerful enemy than the Soviet Union in the beginning of the 80s. It's finding the strategy how to spread the ideas of freedom and just to make the world a safer place. And, of course, what's happening in the last few years with this defeatist mentality dominating Washington and the president of the United States discrediting the office by drawing red lines, washing them out, which means that America has been losing credibility.
It's easy for Americans to look at Russia which had a democratic process, and as you're explaining, no longer does, and lament that and wonder how that can happen. But I wonder what your insight would be on our own democratic process here. We've become, as you point out, hyperpartisan, and that has potentially a corrosive effect on democracy.
I couldn't agree more. I think this is a big danger. The way to overcome this dangerous moment in history is, I believe, to return to the roots, to the great ideas that were in the foundation of this country. That's why I'm advocating the risky endeavors. Yes, risk means that you can fail, but that was the whole idea. One person fails, the group of people fail, but the country wins, and eventually the mankind wins. And I think America should try to recover its role as the engine of innovations. It's still probably the most innovative country in the world, but as I said, iPhone 6 is not Apollo 6. You know, flying to Moon, to Mars, opening new worlds, going up or down to the ocean depths. Yes, it's risky, yes, but the greatness of the country is always reflected in the task that this country is willing and ready to meet and to overcome.
Garry Kasparov, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks for inviting me.